God is so good. And we've got to get that message to the world because they think he's mad at them. The world thinks that he's judging them. Here's the truth. Jesus, God judged the sin of us on Jesus. It's been done once and for all. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good place for a thank you, Jesus. The grace message doesn't give us license to sin, but aren't you glad that your sin's been paid for? That when you get the revelation of God's grace, you want to live right. You want to live for him. You want to share the goodness of God. You don't want to live in the old lifestyle. Jesus paid a dear price to get you out of the dominion of Satan. 1 Corinthians. Not 1 Corinthians. Colossians 1:13. He's taken us, he's translated us out of the kingdom, the dominion, the power and authority of Satan, and brought us in, delivered us in. I always do this. I start with the devil on that side, and these guys feel bad because I get over to the good side. But they know. And translated us into God's dear son. We got the goods. Been learning in the discipleship class, we've got the authority in the planet. Adam had it, Adam lost it. Jesus got it back. End of story, really. Now we take on. Anybody ever been in a relay race? Now we take that baton that Jesus got for us and we run the race. And we advance God's kingdom wherever we go. You come across sickness and disease, smoke it. Get it out. That's not a good terminology. You take authority over it. You know what I mean. But I got to be careful. We're online. Oh, that's the place where you could go and smoke it. We'll have them lining up. But they'll come in and see the smoke of the Holy Spirit. The real deal. You see, that's just a counterfeit. All of the things that man has been going after, and that comes under religion. Let me just make it perfectly clear. I hate religion. Jesus wasn't too fond of it. Religion is, it's too religious. I want freedom. I want what Jesus bought for me, that I can have and enjoy life. How many know he knows how to do stuff? He borrowed Peter's boat and he says, here, now you go out and do a launch. I guess he was mending his nets and he had fished all night. And how many did he catch? None. Some of you know your Bible. Jesus says, go out there. And Peter is a professional fisherman. This guy's a Bible preacher, toter. Well, he wasn't toting a Bible at the time. Didn't have one, but he was just the preacher. What does he know about fishing? And everything. Thank you. What happens? He gets out there. He gets a boat sinking, net breaking load of fish. He had to call his buddies in to help him. Well, Peter's a professional fisherman. He was at work. That was work. Imagine if the customers lined up from here to New Zealand to come to your restaurant. Just keep making those steaks and salads and burgers. Yeah, that was prosperity to Peter. And what does he say? He recognizes Jesus is Lord. How many know they didn't just get the revelation quickly? They saw him. They saw him do miracles. They saw him. Jesus, it says all through the Bible, all through the Gospels, how he had compassion on people. See, that's how you and I need to act. We have to have compassion on people. We're not called to go judge them. We're called to love them. It's the goodness of God that leads men into repentance. The goodness of not God. Not that we carry a club and say, you're going to hell. Yeah, that may be a truth, but that's not the gospel message. Gospel's good news. We need to give people good news. Amen? You got me started. I'm going to continue. It's your fault. I had a message all prepared, but it's next time. I don't know. But God, he wants us free in every area. In every area. In Luke 13, if you have your Bible, Luke 13, I said, verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity. That tells you where infirmity comes from. It's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It's satanic oppression. Getting a cold is not just something we normally should do. Getting the flu when flu season comes, you need to stop that thing. How many here enjoy the flu? My face was not created for the toilet. Neither was yours. And so I just don't participate in the flu. Wrong throne, that's right. That's right. We're seated with him in the heavenly places. We've been raised up. Not gonna be. If you're born again, you've already been raised up. That's positionally where we live. So when I come to any situation, I start from the position of victory. He's already got my victory. Now I just have to walk through and appropriate it for my life. I need to receive it. That's what receiving is all about. So here, the spirit of infirmity was on her for how many years? That's too many years to be sick. And he said, woman. Jesus saw her. He called her and said, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Notice what she did when she was made straight. She glorified God. Don't ever forget to thank God for what he's done for you. But look what happens. This is the religious part. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Can you imagine answering Jesus with indignation? Brain dead. Something's going on. Because why? Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. It was so religious. They didn't have compassion on people that were sick and diseased. You did it when we're supposed to be not doing any work. Well, let's see how Jesus answered, okay? Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. He said to the crowd, this ruler said, there's 6 days on which men ought to work. Can't you hear the sarcasm in his voice? Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered him and said, hypocrite! Imagine hearing that response from Jesus in church. Doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? Don't you do that? So, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? That's where all sickness and disease comes from. It comes from Satan. Think of it for 18 years. Jesus said that's 18 years too much. Be loosed from this bond and be loosed on the bond. When he said these things, his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things. You know, multiple times, I mean dozens of times, it probably happened hundreds of times, they would get together afterwards, how can we kill this guy? We got to throw him headfirst over the cliff out back. And they tried and they tried and they tried, but that's not how Jesus was going out of this earth. He came and he said, no man's going to take me down. Even when he was on the cross, no man. I have the authority and the power to call on the angels to raise me up. He could have done that. I don't know how much pain that must have been after he had been torn apart at the whipping post. If you've ever read an account, I'm not going to go into it. It's gory and it's gross of what a scourging does. It's not just a little leather whip that puts a stripe. It tears the flesh off. And Mel Gibson got a lot of flack for making it so gory. It wasn't anywhere near that lenient. It was worse. And he did that for you, and he did that for me. I think one of the reasons I'm even in the ministry is because at a young age, I hated sickness and disease. Not that I was sick, But I guess that compassion in me just rose up when I saw somebody else sick. And I remember, I can still picture it clearly, when I saw in church somebody receive a miracle. And my heart just, God just got a hold of me. And I've been against sickness and disease. I mean, and everything that comes with it, don't get me wrong. That isn't all. Of course, we want to approach the people that are, you know, entrenched in sin. They don't want to be there. That's the thing. The sinner doesn't want to be there. They've been blinded. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 says that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the people. So one effective way you can pray for a loved one that's not saved is, Father, open the eyes of their heart. Let them see they need a Savior. Let them know that they need you in their life. They don't know. They think everything's okay. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It bears repeating that the most dangerous time for a Christian is when everything's going perfect, because you don't see any need to still go to the Father. And yet He wants a relationship with us. He wants us in His life. He wants our life to be His life, and vice versa. He has the plan, Jeremiah 29, 11. He has the plans. Let's turn there. Again, this is a good scripture you can share with somebody when they say, well, you know, God's just mad at me. No. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. God's been thinking about you. He was thinking about you this morning while you were getting ready to come here. Think about that. Creator of the heavens and the earth was thinking about me. Was thinking about you. I know the thoughts and the plans. Thoughts of peace. You can't put a price on peace. Psychologists can't give you peace. Psychiatrists can't give you peace. Drugs can't give you peace. Nothing man has to offer can bring you peace. It's only God Himself. And when Jesus left, before He left, He said, peace I leave with you, peace I give you. He says, the thoughts and the plans, God has been thinking about us, and He's made plans for our life. Not of evil, but to give you a future and a hope. That's why I tell people, if you're just coming to know Christ today, forget about the past. Your future's the best days you're going to ever see. Paul said, I don't look back, I look forward. Why? Paul was a very religious man, very well-trained man, but he was very lost. And he was such a religious man that he was having Christians thrown into prison, kids, families, having them executed, and then he had an encounter with God. He had an encounter, changed his life. And then God said, I'm going to use you to write about half of the new covenant that I have with my people. See, we're in this side of the cross. We're in a new covenant. We're not under the law. We're not under works. You don't have to work hard. The work's been done. God did the hard lifting. We get to just be receivers and participate in it. But then He gives us instruction on how we're supposed to live. He said we're supposed to love one another. Matter of fact, Jesus said, the world is going to know that you're one of mine by your love you have for one another. Now, I hear too many stories about people in church that got hurt, got offended, got mad, got hurt. We're supposed to love one another. If we hurt somebody, we're supposed to, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And it seems like the other side is even harder for most people. They stay angry, and they can't let it go. We've seen it time and again. People have been mad for 30 years about their first spouse. They're still mad. It's like, you got to get on with your life. They're sleeping like a baby. They're probably, you know, I know situations. The other one got remarried, they had kids, and this one is still mad because it didn't work out. Look, honey, when you got married at 16, that probably wasn't God's, you know, plan for your life. I'm not saying it couldn't be. I'm just saying that it probably wasn't, you know? He says, I love you. You said, I love you. Let's get married. There's a lot more to marriage than that. That isn't going to last but even the night. Come the next day. Okay, some of you been there, see? I like that one. I can preach to somebody that can relate. Praise God. So God's got a plan for us. He's got thoughts that he's been thinking, and he's got a plan all laid out. All you got to do is find out what it is. And that might sound easier than it is. You do have to spend some time with him. What, me? Talk? I don't know how to talk to God. That's one of the big questions, statements I get. Well, I don't know how to talk to God. You're talking to me, just talk to him. What else are you going to do? Start talking to him. Was that a hard one? But I know people, I just don't know how to talk to God. People are afraid to come to prayer meeting. Well, I don't know how to pray. We just talk. We just talk in prayer meeting. Sometimes gets a little bit chatty. Well, you got to understand, there's a lot of women that come to prayer. Men, come on, men. I need your help. Hey, lots of times they got good stuff to say. There are some men that like to talk too. I'm one of them. You're one of them, yes. But you know, as much as we talk in English, we get over into the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us, because we don't know everything we need to pray for. We don't know how to pray. I mean, let's face it, we have infirmities. We're humans. A third of us is perfect, but two-thirds of us is not perfect. Which is bigger? Two-thirds coming at, the Spirit should be calling the shots. When you renew your mind to the Word of God, now your soulish realm and your spirit can control your body. That's the only way it's going to happen. It can't be, January 1st, I'm going to make a New Year's confession or New Year's resolution. That isn't how your life is going to change. It's by getting God's Word into your spirit. That's going to change you. That's the only way it's going to change you. That's why Jesus said over in Mark chapter 4, he talked in a parable. And then I'm amazed at how many people left and didn't bother to find out what the parable was all about. But it says the disciples came to him afterwards and the others. There were some others that were interested in finding out, what is this all about? And he went on to say, this is the most important key that you'll ever learn from me. Acts chapter 1 says that after he died and came back to, was raised up out of hell, and he appeared to over 500 people, for 40 days he taught them about the kingdom, about how to operate in the kingdom. That's pretty important to Jesus. It's pretty important to me. We need to know how to operate in this kingdom. So anyway, he was raised up, showed himself, and then he began to teach them about Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 hadn't even been written. But he said, this is how it's going to work. It's going to be seed time and harvest. You're going to sow a seed. And then he explained it. I'm not going to go into that. Most of you know. But read Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, and Matthew 13. They all talk about the same thing from three different people's views. And they're all very important, because Jesus said, it's the seed that you get into the good ground of your heart. And you're the keeper of your heart. So you get to determine whether you're going to have the Word of God grow up in you and produce. We're supposed to be producing. We talked for 3-4 months about abiding in Christ, abiding in his love, and about producing fruit. That's what we're supposed to be doing here on this planet, producing fruit in every area. That means in your business, too. He wants us prosperous. That means in your relationships. He wants them prosperous. He doesn't want your kids going amok and going to hell. He wants you to raise them upright.
Love it.